Brad, the fewer times we're on, the more hits we get.
All right, let's.
That's working for me.
All right, are you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right.
Doan, James Doan.
Where is 006.9 now?
He's on a mission, sir.
Do you expect me to talk?
An excellent plan, Mr. Doan. Look out, James.
Let me try and enlarge your vocabulary.
Hey, my drink.
The biggest counterfeiter of actual money is the United States government.
Choose your next witticism carefully.
I want to be covered in drugs.
One day we must invent a faster working venom.
Yeah.
They cannot counterfeit gold.
The only gold I know about is the kind you wear.
Every law is backed by bullets.
Bullets do not kill. It is the finger that pulls the trigger.
Exactly.
Doom, I like that.
That is a great intro. Did you do that, Curtis?
I did that, actually.
That is amazing. That is an amazing. I mean, it is a really good, you know.
It's two thumbs up over
it
here.
It is definitely thumbs up. No question about it. That's great. Here we are getting a Jimmy Doan show. And of course, we're a little late. Is this our second show of the year?
Yeah. January 23rd.
January 23rd. We're a week away from election here in Florida.
Florida, that's right.
Today's MacGyver's birthday.
Next Tuesday.
Is it really?
Yeah, what's his name? John something. He's got three names.
MacGyver.
It's Colonel.
Richard Dean Anderson.
Yeah, that's it. Today's his birthday. Yeah, happy birthday.
58.
Do you believe that? He's 58.
Wow.
Nice. That's the big news today. Okay.
He's also the Colonel on Stargate.
Right.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
No problem. We did.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday. I do want to do a quick shout out to our friends, the Hangar Dogs. They sent us that picture with the Chicken Man.
Chicken Man.
Holding the Jimmy Doan t-shirt.
He's a big Jimmy Doan fan out there in Colorado.
Well, of course, that Chicken Man thing, you know, they're trying to close down Chicken Man. Did we talk about that before?
No, we didn't.
No, we haven't talked about it.
They did send us the studio chicken.
Boy, it came out live all the way from Colorado.
It's all the way from Colorado. That's right.
Colorado cold, getting to the chicken.
Chicken Man. Hey, so we'll talk about the Chicken Man.
Yeah, okay. We're on a roll to be a record this month. Another month.
Which is cool.
I say that, I noticed that for some reason, a lot of people associate Jimmy with sex. There are a lot of the search words are sex change
Jimmy,
operation.
You're confounded by this show.
But let me tell you,
it's mine.
Wait a minute, stop the presses. Do you know where they're from? Iran. I'm serious. And Pakistan. I am dead serious. We get hit on. Jimmy Doan show. I mean, can you imagine in Iran, for God's sake?
I'm infidel.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, hell, in Iran, Jimmy's sexy.
And Vietnam. I mean, what is the story on this? I'm going through this thing anyway. Also want to say hello. Hey, what do you mean, Veneris Feria? I did got a note from a very good friend up in... No, it's because
he's always partial to his Swedish fan.
I am. I got a good Swedish fan base up there. They're up there in Kiruna and down south. But I did get a letter from my friend in Lysne.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, which is like over there on the coast. It's some kind of a... Paul, I want to say hi to Paul, and he's a very good friend of mine.
All the fans, keep those emails coming.
That's right. Denmark, Panama we got. That's, I guess, Noriega's back there. And
writing you daily.
We got to thank...
Skip Van Halen song.
The Deviant Libertarian has got us on their site. Yeah, that's good. Auckland, New Zealand, of course. Apparently, Kyle is just telling all his friends down there.
We are getting some big shout-out
to Kyle. I don't know what the story is, but practically the entire population of Auckland has decided to smack on the Jimmy Doan.
Well, and
show.
One of my favorite peoples down there, that guy who made the Bender Brewer robot.
Oh, my God. He said he lived about 10 minutes from Kyle.
Yeah, like 10 or 15 minutes from Kyle.
We got to go visit.
This guy is an insane genius. I got a link to his website from ours.
We'll just pop on over there.
He's amazing.
No,
Kyle said he might rip over there for a try his beer out.
Yeah, something. I tell you, it is phenomenal. But that guy is a genius.
Oh, a complete genius.
And, of course,
genius.
I've talked about this before.
He put the 6502 chip in the Bender Brewer
robot. Yeah, not wouldn't want to use a modern chip.
Right. No.
He could have done the whole thing with one of those pick chips.
Right.
You know,
right.
And the size of your thumb.
With a basic stamp, too.
He gets something. Yeah, right, exactly. But no, he got the 6502 out of a Commodore VIC 64. Yeah. What the hell does it?
Hey, guys, don't worry. I don't know what they're talking about either.
Hey, also, I wanted to...
For all you fans out there.
To congratulate Bernie on winning the t-shirt on eBay, too.
Bernie.
Oh, that's right.
I know. Yep. Yeah, that's the link that's gone. That's what it was. The eBay link was gone.
Oh, okay.
We can take that down. So,
yeah.
Sold. Well, maybe we'll put another t-shirt up there. So, what was the final sale price?
Don't answer. Don't ask. I got a feeling.
Way more to ship it.
Yeah. Well, I sent Kyle a couple of things.
Oh, that's cool. You sent him some Jimmy junk. Huh?
I sent it
Kyle's
to Jimmy junk.
Yeah, right.
I haven't gotten a letter from him, but
it takes a while.
Well, yeah. It's going to New Zealand, for God's sake.
Right, yeah.
We do have an update in Aussie land, which is not New Zealand.
Right.
Australia.
In Australia. Aussie. They're doing some really crazy things down there. We're talking about that.
I did want
to mention one thing that I did do this last week. I went down to a seminar in Miami.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was the Stefan Molyneux Free Domain Radio.
Yeah, yeah, how was that?
Well, I didn't go.
What?
I drove all the way down there.
missed a show, by the way.
Well, yeah.
We had a show lined up,
right, and I went down there to meet with these guys, and I did chat with him for an hour or two the night before.
Right.
And he basically talked me out of it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, they've gotten into a lot of this psychoanalyst type thing, you know, call the therapist and that. His wife, Christina, is a therapist.
Yeah.
So they've done a lot of that stuff. And I said to him,
rapist without therapist. No, whatever.
He didn't say that.
Okay.
But anyway, apparently most of the people down there are on his message boards and they post like 5, 6, 8, 10 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about a lot of the stuff that has to do with their, I don't know, I guess psychological profiles and their freedom and how do you become freedom and free in an unfree world and all that kind of stuff. And so he said, well, we're really not going to talk about some of the stuff that I did in my early shows. And essentially he talked me out of going, so I didn't go.
We're not going to talk about that today.
No, we're not going to talk about that. I did go down there. I did meet our friend Liz.
Oh, Hot Lips, Liz.
I love Liz. I didn't say that. Anyway, Liz told me a lot of confidential information about two of my sons.
And how many children do you have?
I have roughly two.
Two. Okay.
If you round it off, it's a number between. Choose any number between 1 and 3.
But those of you fans that know Jimmy out there know that they still don't have as much dirt as we have on Jimmy.
Let me put it this way: anybody has more dirt on Jimmy.
That's right. A year of conversations with Liz would not add up to the dirt.
So did you have fun with Liz?
It was great fun. Yeah. It really was. I love her to death. She's this real sport. I was thinking about maybe she could have my grandchildren, only I'd be the grandfather. You know, go to the source. Okay.
Daddy.
Yeah, daddy.
She got
great.
A daddy complex? Or is that what you were getting?
I was hoping.
So you gave her a Parkinson's Law, didn't you?
Yes, I did. And she said she loved it. And I also gave her another book. But when she gets into Parkinson's, she was reading the other one first, which was an old Robert Ringer book called How to Survive the Coming Collapse of Western Civilization, which was written about 20 years ago by one of my other favorite authors, Robert Ringer. And he was the one that did the tortoise business. Well, you have to look it up on the web. Anyway, good stuff from the early 70s.
He wrote The Tortoise and the Hare?
No, it was about about being.
I saw that cartoon, man.
Tortoise. That was a story.
The Tortoise Wins, man.
That's right. That's what they read today. Yeah, but she's going to. She says she was starting on that one first, but I think she should get a lot more out of the Parkinson's Law, which I also gave a copy to my friend James. I went with my lawyer from friend from college days.
We started the show on Australia.
Okay, right? Let's just see.
Hey, well, you know, I was pleasantly surprised because I got a list for this show, and we haven't had a list in a long time. So, hey, tonight, this is a special show because we got a list.
That's right.
Not that we're going to follow.
Haven't even started the
other
show,
big news.
We?
The other big news. Started. The current news,
this
of
is
course,
like
is this is Martin Luther King Week.
Oh, I have a dream.
January 16th through 25th, and of course, I was always curious why this guy gets 10 days when all the presidents of the United States get like one in February.
I may not get there
back
with you.
And
look, they didn't have a lot of presidents that they could celebrate.
Well, not, well, that's true.
Now, hey, they might get another one here soon.
Well, that's right. I hear Jack Rhodes is making a bet.
Obama. No, I'm not betting, but I'm enjoying what's going on. I've been following the Democratic side.
I have not even followed one word of it. So tell me what's going on.
It's been, you know, back and forth. Like last week was the Republican
week. Is there any race card being played?
Now this week is the Democrat week. So, oh, the race card is coming out. They're coming out. We got a good.
That's his ace in the hole.
We got a good one. Oh man,
it's a spade.
Okay. I hear a lot of my news in the car. XM Radio. Big fan of XM. Hey, they might be a sponsor. I don't know. Probably not.
They are.
Yeah. So I'm not seeing this, but I heard this speech of Obama actually just a little earlier tonight, and it was evident in his inflection, tone, and just verbiage in general that he was speaking to a predominantly black crowd.
Okay.
No question about it. He was bringing out
say,
the brother.
Say, yo!
Yo, yo,
I was
yo.
Down up in the Washington. And,
yo!
Well, I did notice that the founder of BET, I think it's the guy who's like the super rich black guy,
right.
he's endorsing Hillary, I think.
The Reverend?
He's not a Reverend.
She has a bunch of groups like that.
I mean, well, you know, they had a thing here in Florida.
What I was saying earlier to finish this up was that, if the race was run today, Obama would be winning. And of course, you know, anybody but Hillary. And so, you know, I'm enjoying it. I'm liking, Hillary is just squirming. Bill is out there too. And,
he's squirming.
And I wish I had a good impression, but he said, I'm really enjoying watching Hillary and Obama go at it and fight. It's really enjoying.
Yeah, they were all saying that it's going to be more like Billary or whatever they're calling him now.
And, he's coming out. And Obama.
Well, we said on the last
Obama's
show.
In the last Democratic debate in particular, just the first, again, the first 15 minutes was the fireworks. I mean, if you're going to watch the debates, all you got to do is watch the first 15, 20 minutes. And the fireworks come out. So
well, he has a lot more substance than her. I think he may outlast her, but it ain't long till the nomination's wrapped up. You know,
right? And we're coming. So, let's see, in about less than 2 weeks, February 5th is Super Tuesday, when I think something like 47 or 50% of the delegates will be supposedly wrapped up. Florida, we have ours in 6 days.
Yeah,
and that's. But of course, we've been eliminated from some of our delegates are like not going to be seated because we moved our.
The Democrats
thing up. I think the Republicans too. Oh. But they've been coming. They finally decided to come into Florida, which is like third most populous state or something. And it's interesting that Florida doesn't have as much weight as Iowa, which is like all cows and corn. But okay, that's fine. So anyway, what was interesting, I thought that as far as Obama and Hillary were concerned, they had both promised not to run any ads or something like that in Florida, I think, because of the delegate problem.
Whatever, the boycott.
And, of course, they both immediately came up. It reminds me right out of Adam Smith. They both accused each other of running ads in Florida, and then they jumped in with both feet. You know, so, he's going to do it, I'm going to do it. You know, that's all they needed was an excuse. It was like a Tonkin Gulf resolution.
Well, Edwards has been squeezing in there a little... getting a few one-liners, but for the most part, it's Barack and
of course, Thompson's gone.
Thompson's gone officially, I think, today or last night.
Yep, something like that.
Back
and
on the Republican
side. Been tanking. Everybody's thinking,
whatever, up and down every day.
Well, you can tell us your theories on that. Jimmy, why don't you kick us off on this list here, though? Okay. You were saying Australia.
Oh, yeah, that was the thing.
So we're starting the show.
Okay, we're going to start. I'm going to move down the list a little bit. One of the things that Australia government revs up license plate cameras. And I thought this was interesting because we have a lot of this artificial intelligence stuff coming online. And this actually, I'm going to dovetail on something in Israel. But right now, and this is worldwide news, Jimmy Doan show, and everybody wants to know this stuff. Australian government revs up license plate cameras. CrimeTrack, the Australian government's criminal information and intelligence agency, is taking the first steps toward developing a nationwide automatic number plate recognition system to capture the vehicle details of suspects and citizens alike.
Everybody's a suspect.
Australia, exactly. Exactly. Australia already has an ANPR, which I guess is an automatic number or something recognition, systems fitted to existing road surveillance equipment, including speed cameras, to scan and read license plates of passing vehicles at a rate up to 5 or 6 cars a second. Once captured, the data is checked against a database featuring a hot list of registration numbers and plates.
Wait a second, go back there.
Various agencies across a number of states already using advanced technology.
Sit down. Hey, that's my Australian.
How many
that's my Australian accent. You have your papers, please. Is this one from Australia?
So now this database is hooked up to what? A missile system?
Something like.
Shall we play a game?
Man, I mean, that's just what I was thinking. You're saying, what, 4 or 5 plates a second?
Yeah.
This thing's the freaking whopper, man.
That's it. No.
It's pumping out the gigabytes. Man.
Well, that's per road, of which there's more than one in Australia.
Place.
But no, you know, we've thought about, it is amazing to me how many people think, well, I'm going to escape the United States and I'll move to Australia because, you know, it's at the outback and I'm going
to... Sorry to hear that, Professor.
And I'm going to go to... Exactly. And I'm going to go to Australia, you know, and I'm going to live like... I'm going to live like... what's his name?
Crocodile Hunter.
What
in Australia?
Steve Irwin.
Well, no, but also the Crocodile Dundee or something, you know, in the outback.
Right.
Okay, but, hey, you ain't getting away in Australia. Right. I mean, so I'm thinking maybe we're going to have to go to New Zealand instead.
They got freaking attack kangaroos there, man.
I know where there's a robot that looks like Bender that makes beer.
I know, and that's important, and that's in New Zealand.
Right.
Which apparently those countries are, like, different. So anyway, this technology, the article goes on to explain a little bit about the technology. Now, we already have some of that, of course, here in the States, but apparently this is like super, we can recognize it in a snowstorm kind of thing, or at least we'll take a guess and shoot the missile anyway.
And if you're wrong,
missiles first, questions later, you know,
right.
Guilty first,
right.
Verdict
right.
first, trial right. second. So this, of course, goes along with, and I don't know
the California story about the thermostat control.
Yes, the thermostat control. I understand that there was apparently a bit of a hoorah, and they withdrawn it. The deal was that they proposed putting a
California Energy Commission.
Right, a government bureaucracy commission said, look, here's what we need to do. In order to have our energy, we're going to mandate that everybody have on their thermostat a control that we can control from central.
Mandatory.
That's right. And when the temperature gets when your temperature in your house gets a little too warm in the winter, we can crank it down. And when it gets a little too hot in the summer, or gets a little too cool in the summer,
man,
we can turn off your air conditioner. Everybody
they can
in
smoke you out.
And well, duh. And you know how long is it? Oh, by the way, what is this little lens on the control he has? what is this blinking light on the lens on the control
TV.
Thing? That's so you don't touch it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they apparently there was a bit of hoorah, but the point is,
they can spike
it was
the power
suggested.
To touch it. Yeah,
it
that's,
was suggested.
By,
and let me tell you, by more or less moronic people.
I'm guessing a Democrat.
No, it doesn't matter.
It was the bureaucracy.
It was a
committee of people.
It's right. And let me tell you, if you haven't seen it, it's right out of Brazil.
California is the land of fruits and nuts. So.
Well, but I'm telling you, they apparently there was enough of a hoorah that they backed off this time.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, this is called testing.
We're getting a signal here. We're not sure where it must be bouncing off the satellite.
Go see that movie, Brazil.
Oh, man, you need to, and it is the time.
Hey, man,
it is timely. It is timely. It is so timely. No, and I was funny because I was talking to somebody the other day who hadn't seen it. I said, "Where have you been?"
It was just so far ahead of its time because it's British and they're already into it. I mean,
did
you see the other story we have? About the microchips in the prisoners.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
And
they are going to chip them like dogs, as it says.
I bet they're going to come up with a creative way to implant the chip.
You understand.
They're going to let your cellmate do it.
You do understand.
Bend over. I'm going to implant my chip.
You do understand.
Chip condom.
No.
Just leave it in.
Oh, my God.
Jimmy doesn't have to be at this show.
The Jack Rhodes show.
That's it. They are talking because, you know, they can already take your blood. If you don't want to give a breathalyzer or something like that, they can say, well, strap him down. We're going to take his blood.
That's over here.
Right. But I'm saying that this kind of thing is permeating the quote free world, soon to be not so free.
Yeah.
And of course, if they could stick a needle in you to take your blood, they could certainly implant the little nano chip.
Absolutely.
And there, as I say, if you're a prisoner, you have no, you basically don't have any rights anyway.
Anyway.
So
it can be an exploding chip, like Snake Plissken or something.
Right, exactly.
Oh, man.
Exactly. Yes.
Plissken.
Snake Plissken. Yes.
Ah, oh, that's great.
I love it.
Yeah, if they piss you off, you know, they just blow your ass up.
That's it, man.
Don't. We sit here and we kind of humorously about this.
Because we're planning for the island. We are getting out of here.
We're not telling anybody. Let me put it this way. Non-extraditable is the word of the day.
Right. The trick is to escape before they go after you.
Well, let me tell you. We're going to talk. We have a Hugo update in that department.
Hugo.
We have a but.
Ale, ale.
No. Before we get to that, because we're talking about the artificial intelligence, I did see the Israel. Is eyes thinking machines to fight doomsday missile strikes. Did you see that?
Mm.
This is Israel has been hit in recent years by thousands and thousands of rockets, mortar shells, and missiles. And that could be just a preview of the onslaught Iran may someday unleash. Of course, if the Iran ever gets the internet and they all start searching the Jimmy Doan site for porn, you know, that's
going to take care of that.
But anyway, so Israeli military leaders have begun early planning for a new robotic defense system armed with enough artificial intelligence that it, quote, could take over completely, unquote, from flesh and blood operators. Now, does this write out of war games or what?
Yeah, we're going to
take the human out of the loop.
We already used up our war games.
We already used up our
special effects.
But, I mean, this is Skynet.
Working.
what was that?
That was out of Star Trek.
Working.
So, anyway, the Brigadier General Daniel Milo, commander of Israel's Air Defense, tells Defense News, Barbara Soda, in the event of a doomsday strike, and this is right out of Dr. Strangelove. I mean, the movies are so cool. Opal Rose, the system could handle, physiological limits on of human command. How do you say Skynet in Hebrew? Israel already uses a blend of Arrow and Patriot interceptors to handle incoming rockets and missiles. The new command and control program would be superimposed over all these defenses and over new ones to come.
Superimposed.
Yeah. Virtual coach come battle manager whose primary mission would be to support system operators and commanders during engagements. Whoa. As such, the super system would help Israeli air defenders pick the optimum timing sequence. The whole point is...
You turned off your targeting computer.
No.
Are you sure it isn't time for a colorful metaphor?
That's right. So the point is that what we're talking about here is all these technologies, license plate, command and control...
In fact, we just used to do a movie list for today's show.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You watch this, and this is exactly what's going on.
This is what's happening. Right, you know, 1984. Right.
In Australia, Dr. Strangelove.
That's right. And not to forget, of course, Missouri Breaks. Okay.
Right.
So that is that.
So we're moving on.
We can move on to the next item. Actually, what the Pentagon, our little Pentagon, has decided to do is to explore human fear chemicals. You seen that?
Yeah.
They are coming up now, of course, not content with mustard gas or whatever
fear
the other...
chemicals.
Yeah, it smells like a wife.
What?
And that will put the fear of God into anybody. I mean, yeah, of course, if they don't want to get it mixed up with the mistress pheromone.
No.
That's right. What you do is you entice them in with the mistress pheromone,
right.
And then you splash them with the wife one, and scares the shit out of them. I do remember one time coming back from a ski trip. which
Jimmy digresses.
No, Jimmy's not. Jimmy. Yeah, exactly. I see some whistling in the background here. Inside
no,
joke.
Was,
okay.
Yeah.
So anyway, but the whole point is American military researchers are working to uncover and harness the most terrifying chemical imaginable.
This is the Pentagon.
That most primal odor, the scent of fear. And of course, my question is, at the Pentagon, any chance you might want to use this on civilians?
No.
God,
way.
I don't know. You know,
sure, it's non-deadly.
That's right.
Non-lethal.
It's even less lethal than the taser.
You know, have a heart attack.
Don't tase me, bro.
Don't fear me.
Do we have that one?
Don't fear me, bro.
Don't
pheromone me. It doesn't have the same ring. don't send the pheromones my way. I mean, better than tear gas or mustard gas or taser. Yeah. You just put the fear of God into these people. I don't know what you do with kids that are 18 years old, since most of them aren't married, but maybe it would have a picture in their mind of cutting off an appendage or something like that of their body.
It would be a pregnant girl.
That's right. Or Lorena Bobbitt.
Oh,
that's it. They run the other way real quick.
Pretty much every gay.
That's it. But there are more pheromones. There is more to pheromones than attraction. Many animals have an alarm pheromone, which is used to signal danger. Aphids, for example, use it to cause their fellow lice to flee. But anyway, the question is...
Aphids?
The question is, how long is it before they, you know, extract aphid juice and lose it on humans?
I think I'm a little more worried about the huge waste of cash they're going to use on this thing. I don't think they're going to find a fear smell that's going to really do it for us.
I don't know. I've been in the car with some people who should remain nameless when they cut one, a silent Bud Dudley, which would drive anybody out of the car. So anyway, okay. So that takes care of the technological updates.
Well, it doesn't.
Councillor Curtis is going to chime in here with what?
Well, it sort of dovetails into... Talk about wasted studies. You've got this one in Sweden.
Yes. Well, this dovetails into global warming.
Yes, it does.
Sweden to study belching cows.
Got
to
be college students, right?
No, Sweden. Well, a university has received roughly $600,000 in whatever they spend over there. I guess they're not. I don't know if they're on euros or not. Anyway, in research funds to measure the greenhouse gases when cows belch. About 20 cows will participate in the project run by the Swedish University for Agricultural Sciences in Uppsala, about 40 miles north of Stockholm. Been there, done that. Okay, I used to.
All the cows were members of the Delta Tau Delta fraternity.
That's right, and they release methane, a greenhouse gas believed to contribute to global warming when they digest food. Research.
Thank you, Al Gore.
Yeah. Well, apparently, it turns out that it's like seven times. You know, each cow belch is like seven times primitive volcano or something or whatever it is. It's a lot. It's like the equivalent of
eight
four Yugos or something like that. Or I don't know exactly what it is, but it's. So anyway, I'm glad to see.
That's led directly to the snow in Baghdad, hasn't it?
Yeah, that was first time ever.
Thank you, Al Gore.
Yeah, thank you. Well, the global warming is a big deal. Of course, I've noticed. You know, one of the things I have noticed, every time that there's
actually snowed in Baghdad.
Snowed in Baghdad, first time. They went some 90-year-old lady. She says, don't remember any snow. never happened here.
Ash, yeah, all the time.
Right.
Black snow or white?
It is interesting that every time that there's some local burg here in the States has a record, a heat, that the airwaves are flooded. It's 24/7 on how global warming is destroying everything.
It was the number one danger on the Discovery show I watched last night.
Global warming.
Okay, and Al Gore had these big long statements that he was interjecting
but
in
now,
there. And,
but now, did you notice, of course, that today, the only place you can find out anything about that it's not true is on the Weather Channel, and they're talking about the snows, literally, that have just deluged the entire West. California is experiencing the coldest, rainiest. You can't believe it in, you know, 1,000 years, snow everywhere. They can't believe it. Oh, the whole western United States. And there's a huge storm from South Carolina up to Maine that is coating everybody with cold weather. Minnesota, all those places, coldest. They can't believe how cold it is.
Well, that's why they need that thermostat control.
And that's why they need the thermostat control. Even and we have it hasn't reached down here to Florida. But interestingly enough,
it was minus.
There is nobody on the regular media. There's nobody coming out and say, you know, I wonder if this global warming thing is. Is there any question that it might be a hoax? But I mean, what's interesting is any little small straw that indicates the global warming, it is 24/7 on the global warming channels, right. All of them. It's like that guy that died. You know, who was this guy that died? I mean, it's been on all the channels.
Keith Ledger.
Yeah, Keith Ledger. Right. I mean, it didn't matter what channel you're on. That's the same thing with the global warming
right.
stuff.
It was
Population berg in Minnesota has a record by 1 degree. It is 24/7 on we're all going to die.
Yet it was -3 in the Packers football game the other day.
Yeah. It was a health hazard to be out there.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And I mean, but I'm saying that you don't find people coming out and saying, is there a chance that there's no global warming?
Not yet.
Well, I mean, let me tell you, you're going to have to
Depends
have. Let me put it this way. I believe that when the glacier covers Canada, that somebody will say, you know, I wonder if this possibility that there might not be global warming.
See, the problem is this. The problem with the global warming thing that we're facing is that's not going to happen. If the Earth follows the same cycle that it's followed over the last million years, it has done this cycle 10 times exactly the same way every 100,000 years. It goes up and down exactly 10 degrees Celsius. It's done this 10 times in the last million years. Now, what we've got, we're 18,000 years into the 20,000-year warming cycle, which means we're going to have two more thousand years of warmth. It's going to be minute. It's going to be on the order of a couple of degrees over the next 2,000 years. But it's still going to happen like that. So they're going to be able, every 100 years, somebody will be able to do a scare like this where they see a little tiny spike and a little tiny thing. Of course, probably by then they'll have looked back at the geologic record or heard this show and understand they need to know more about the record.
Well, the whole point is,
and I think you got some pretty big cojones to say that, you know, that the world is essentially evolving around us. You know,
right. Well, that's it. Yeah, yeah. And then we can actually fix it.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that is the hubris. I mean, that to me is what is amazing is that, okay, tomorrow morning we're going to tell China, India, United States, all the developed and developing countries, no more emission, no more hairspray,
and for
no
crying
more
out
coal,
loud,
and everybody goes back to basically the Stone Age or whatever it is, and that's going to fix it. And it won't. What if it doesn't?
Well, we got to get the cows to stop farting and burping.
Well, of course,
crying out loud.
And we got to stop them, plug up them volcanoes.
Abso-frickin-lutely.
Yeah, no, it is.
Jimmy Doan's volcano plugs.
That's it. We have those two on those for sale.
$9.99.
That's right, on eBay.
$9 million.
I'll ask him if I can post this, but I did get a big email from Stitch about that dishonest political tampering with the science on global warming. And it says, world's top scientist, man-made warming is a dangerous lie. And it's signed by quite a few people.
Anyway, I saw that.
The first thing was written by Christopher Mockton in Bali. And basically this guy was I'm reading the thing right now. He says, I share the Nobel Peace Prize with Al Gore, yet I and many of my peers at the British House of Lords profoundly disagree on a fundamental scientific grounds with both the IPCC and my co-laureate's alarmist movie, An Inconvenient Truth, which won this year's Oscar for Best Sci-Fi Comedy Horror.
That's funny.
It was pretty funny, but you should read this. But exactly. I mean, you understand what they're trying to say. I mean, the Earth has been through dramatic.
Let me put it this way: I don't care. The fact is, let's assume for the moment that you could figure out that mankind did it. And I have a classmate that wrote a paper, fairly learned. He's a PhD, whatever, up there in one of the Eastern universities, and he said actually the man's influence on the climate has actually gone back more than 5,000 years because when we started agriculture, clearing and everything has made it fairly dramatic change. That's his thesis. So what? I mean, what are you going to do about it? You can't fix it.
Well, wait, now that I disagree with. We have put a guy on the moon, and you couldn't convince me that we could do that if I was born 100 years ago before it ever happened. You'd be like, what? You mean what? That's a ball of cheese up there. I mean, we have done incredible, amazing, unbelievable things, and it's not at least beyond our psyche to try or to conceive of a way.
Okay, here's the problem I've got, and that actually is interesting. You should mention that because so many things. It doesn't matter what it is. Well, if we can put a man on the moon, we can, and you fill in the blank. I mean, that has been going on for 30 years that I know. Oh, yeah, I know. But, I mean, it doesn't always hold true. And
of course not.
And you have to ask yourself, at what cost? I mean,
that's the big thing, and I agree with you on that.
If you're going to take away all freedoms, and we're going to be like the Matrix, for God's sakes, and all in these...
Because we have to try.
Yeah, and so we're all going to have pipes, and we're going to be in barrels of water, or whatever the food, the nutrient is.
I think it should be a private effort. You know, I mean,
this is the market will figure it out.
Right,
that's
right,
the whole
exactly.
point. But nobody wants to wait for the market. They want to because they want control. They're control freaks. There's
what
no
are
question
you talking? George Bush, he's got a $150 billion pocket right now that doesn't want to wait. Oh wait, it doesn't want to wait for the market.
That's right. Yeah. Oh boy, talk about a joke on that thing, man. I'll tell you, people don't understand that $150 billion comes from. That's already here. That's so you're going to take it from over here.
No, they're going to print that.
They're going
to print that money.
Well,
they're not going to print it. And what they think is that it's not so big of an amount that it'll affect anything in terms of the printing. Or whatever they're going to take it from is not going to hurt, and whatever they're going to give it to is going to be just the right thing.
Well, it's interesting.
That's what the...
Let me tell you.
Counselor's getting into it, man. He's taking off his jacket over here.
Yeah. Okay.
He's going to stay a while.
This is not a digression. We're actually going to go into a new little thing here.
I thought we were done with the last one. So
okay,
yeah,
good. Here's an editorial, an op-ed contributor from the New York Times on today, actually. And it is called Make the Tax Cuts Work. The New York Times, this guy, op-ed contributor, says, one way would be to repeal the Bush tax cuts.
To help the economy?
To help the economy, right. In other words, here's the deal, and this I love this. The president's proposal would, similar efforts in 2001, 2002 have mixed results at best, but so long as tax breaks are temporary, they wouldn't do much long-term economic harm. In other words, permanent tax breaks cause harm.
Right. Well, no, see what he's thinking there? For all you economic theorists out there, what he's hoping to do is he gives a little shot in the arm by giving this tax money out there for a little while. He's going to collect it later when things are moving strong, as if it's not going to have the same negative effect. It's like he's hoping that the exact same amount of money that he puts into it is going to have the positive effect, and when he takes it out, it's going to have not a negative effect of the
right.
same
well,
magnitude.
This was a Keynesian, very famous Keynesian thing called pump priming.
This is strict.
The idea was that
economics.
You put a little in, and it generates a whole lot more. Well, anyway, the whole point is, it would accomplish nothing short of the story. Most of the benefits would go to the very rich. This is Bush's plan. Go to the very rich, the group least likely to spend a tax windfall. But if they were repealed in a year, Bush tax cut could spur a burst of economic activity in 2008. This is from this op-ed editorial. If people knew that their tax rates were going up next year, they'd work to make sure that more of their income is taxed at this year's lower rates. Investors would likewise have a giant incentive to cash out their capital gains now to avoid paying taxes next year. So what we're saying here is that if you repeal the tax cuts, and the idea on most people are saying, look, we need to give money to the poor people because they'll spend the money, and that will create benefits for everybody. And the other thing is that if rich people understand that their tax rates are going to go up, they will basically take all their capital gains, and they'll spend money, too. And spending money on yachts and Ferraris is just the same as spending it on anything else, yada, yada, yada. But, I mean, the question is, they talk about this extra spending and so forth, but the money comes from somewhere. And I'm just I think that when they talk about people taking their capital gains now, for instance, that means that they won't have them to take later on.
Right.
I mean, the money, it vanishes is what it happens. And to think that you can actually...
This is like gasoline on the fire as opposed to putting another log in there. You get a flare, it looks great.
It's an accelerator.
And then it's gone.
And then it's
wow.
gone.
And
but, I mean,
really
what I love this is the fear here is that the $140, $150 billion tax package of emergency measures, which is a joke anyway, is that the horrible thing is that the benefits would go to the rich people. That is to say, the people who do the investing.
The evil rich.
And I guess what they're doing is they're equating spending by poor people with investing by rich people. They're saying they're different. They're totally different.
Well, yeah, they're comparing them to it, and they're saying that the spending by the poor is much, much better.
Right.
So
they will end up with no money and a bunch of crap. You know,
right.
Another VCR, whatever, another DVD player, whatever it
another
is.
Another set of rims.
That's right. Another set of rims. That's right. And that's good for the economy. But the fact that you might give a tax break to some business person who then would hire people and create more stuff, you wouldn't want to do that.
Right. Well, look.
Silly white man.
We'll tax him instead.
Look, it's obvious, it should be obvious to everyone that either type of spending is good for the economy. I mean, you want there to be spending. The important point, though, is that if you could do this all the time, if the government could do it all the time,
right.
then it would be perpetual motion.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
Why
right.
not just
right.
keep doing it?
Right.
You know,
I mean, good point.
It doesn't.
If it were that easy,
you just pour it on.
Yeah.
Man.
No, I mean here we have the Fed, for instance. Yeah, exactly. No, we have the Fed, for instance. They lowered the interest rate here. You've got a good point, and I should have made that. Jimmy should have made that.
That's what Curtis is here for.
That's right. No, very good point. And that is, if it were that easy, We could spend ourselves rich.
Hey,
there you go. Ourselves rich.
Yeah, it's like when you pay something, when you buy something with Discover Card, you get money back.
Yes,
can you lose?
Yeah,
Mrs. Jimmy went shopping the other day at one of those fancy stores. She saved $100 and she wanted it.
She and saved you money.
And you know if she got $100 back,
she wanted from me. That was the point. She told me she saved $100 and wanted me to pony up.
Oh, I thought you meant. I thought you mentioned too. She spent so much, she got $100 back. And
No. What happened
Jimmy
was
she looked. She your no, cars she, are all
no,
there.
No, no. What happened was she spent a whole ton of money, but the stuff was on sale.
Oh, so she saved
$100 because not paying retail. But she says she saved all that money. She came and wanted me to pony up the $100 because of the money she'd saved.
Yeah, well, that makes perfect sense.
I thought it made sense to me. No, I didn't have any choice. I
was being married.
That's right.
That's married logic.
That's right.
Do we want to take a quick break?
Yes,
here and then
break
come
time.
Back?
Break time.
Back with the Jim and Doan Show.
Sometimes I feel like I am drunk behind the wheel. The wheel of possibility. However it may roll, give it a spin, see if you can somehow factor in. You know there's always more than one way to say exactly what you mean to say. Was I out of my head or was I out of my mind? How could I have ever been so blind? I was waiting for an indication, it was hard to find. No matter what I say, only what I do. I never mean to do bad things to you. So quiet, but I finally woke up. If you're sad, then it's time you spoke up too. Hard to find. Don't matter what I say.